Okay. We're going to pick up, and I promise that we will finish up with Exodus. We'll have one more week of it next week, and then we'll be moving on through to other readings of that involve the number 40, whether it's 40 days or representative of 40 years and or 40 nights or combination thereof. So just a quick background of what we should have obtained in what I brought to you so far is that Moses' journey, after he completed his 80 years of life, God still had another 40 years of his life planned out. And so that when he turned 80, he then took that next step in God's plan to take the Egyptians out of the, or take the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. So Moses went back to Egypt with his brother Aaron, and Aaron acts as his spokesman. And this is one thing I didn't really touch on that I'd kind of like to touch on. I know from experience, being a salesman, that there are times in your career that when you go out and you face individuals, especially when it comes to cold calling, that there is always a percentage of rejection that you'll face. Some people can handle the rejection. Some people cannot. Some people look at the rejection as an opportunity to hone their skills a little bit more. Some, over a period of time, may take that rejection as being personal, to such a point to where they may even eventually get out of the industry that they're involved in. One thing I have found, both personal experience and the times that I've been in charge of individuals, is giving them a partner, a helpmate. And it's kind of the same equivalent that we experience when we get married. It's one thing to go through life by yourself. It's another thing to go through life when you've got a helpmate, somebody who walks side by side and has the same goals and has the same understanding that you do. I've seen it take an individual and completely change his attitude and his perspective 180 degrees when he had somebody that would go with him out into the sales field. We see Moses is the same way. Moses was given a task. Moses was given everything he needed, from an attitude adjustment to knowing that God was behind him fully, and yet there was a disconnect. And yet on Moses' part, there was hesitation. At least five different instances when he said, whoa, let's do something a little different. Whoa, this isn't me. I'm not sure I'm your guy. Man, I've been out in the wilderness with these sheep for 40 years, and the only language I can speak now is sheep, you know? He'd lost some of that ability that he had acquired in those first 40 years when he was raised and educated in Egypt. God's answer, what did he give him, or whom did he give him? He gave him Aaron, his brother, his oldest brother. One that he knew had complete and unquestionable confidence in. Somebody who was actually physical and tangible that he could hug and talk to, put his arm around, or Aaron put his arm around Moses kind of thing. Gave him that individual to go through life and go through this task to see it through. So just the thing that kind of hit me a little sideways when I was reviewing a little bit that I may have not have touched on. Probably one of the more reasons it's important that when we choose a mate, that we try to choose one not only within our faith, but one who has sometimes the same likes and dislikes, the same tendencies that we do. Now, we also, those are those success stories where opposites attract, and they live a happy life and great and successful, and, you know, may not have had a bad word between them. And those are stories that we just relish in. But anyway, when it came to Moses' journey, he was given a helpmate. He was given his older brother, Aaron. And so that was something that was just kind of important that I would like to share with you. They confront Pharaoh. Didn't really work out the first time. They go back the next time. And by this time, they have all of the authority of God behind them. And I really don't think they were given a choice to back up. You know? So they had to press forward. And so we go through the moments in which they then proceed with God's plan. And we'll see that as they confronted Pharaoh, they released the 10 plagues. The 10 plagues were significant in the less severe to the most severe. So where the 10th one actually took the firstborn of the Egyptians. And at that point, there was then the great exodus, and Israel leaves Egypt. At this point, then he starts his 40 years of life serving God and taking care of and overseeing his people. And we know there were several events that took place, and we'll talk a couple of them more specifically. But there was the events that took place on Mount Sinai. And I think those are pretty important, aren't they? Yeah. Because what do we see being established here? Covenant. We see the beginning of God fulfilling his promise that he made back to Abraham. What we figured, what, about 1,000 years ago? Or 1,000 years prior? So this is the beginning. This is kind of similar to the beginning of the establishment of the church in Acts. This is history being laid down in front of God's people. And we see that God refers to his people and has Moses referring to the people as not just a little meek, humble tribe of people, but a nation. And I think the estimate was once they got out of Egypt and everybody was, they kind of wandered around a little bit before they made their way to Mount Sinai. 2.2 million, 2.3 million people collectively. That's a pretty good audience. And Moses was given the responsibility to overseeing this nation of people. So the Exodus occurs. Moses begins his next 40 years. He leads the people to Mount Sinai where God gives them the laws and the commandments. Is that all that happened on that mountain? He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights the first time. Not only was he given the laws of the Ten Commandments, but he was also given additional instructions to what? To build the tabernacle and the priesthood. He was given all of the instructions to get everything started from that point forward that involved establishing the rites, the laws, all of the events that would be required for the sacrifices, complete details of how to build the tabernacle to the point of just the smallest of details. If you visualize him coming off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, did he also have an architectural tube under his other arm that had CAD drawings of all of these details? No. I can't even begin to imagine what was going on while he was up there for those 40 days and those 40 nights. When we think of Moses and Aaron, as they come up to the base of this mountain, how many of you here have seen or have had the pleasure of experiencing mountains? And I don't mean just going down to southeast Oklahoma, but true mountains. Okay. If you take I-70 out of Kansas going into Colorado, as you start heading into Denver, what you think are just clouds over the horizon are mountains. If you've been through the Great Continental Divide, there are sheer rock formations that come straight up that look so foreign you would think you were on a different planet. There are mountains on the West Coast that are so big that you can see them for miles and miles and miles away, and they still look big. So here's Aaron and Moses. They approached Mount Sinai, and they've got these millions of people behind them. And I think at the quietest moment in time, it was probably extremely noisy with all those people behind him. And what is the description of going on the mountain as Moses and Aaron approach, and the elders, and the other select few? Is it a bright sunny day with big fluffy white clouds going through and a slight breeze in her hair? It's pretty much different, isn't it? The presentation that God was giving the people at the time was pretty ominous. As Harry was saying, there was thunder, smoke, occasional billows of fire that you could probably see. And I have to believe that it had to be big enough to captivate and keep the attention of everybody in this party. Not just Aaron, not just Moses, but of all the Israelites. God, at this point, he had to make a statement. He had to make a statement in their lives, saying, this is an important event. This is something that you take the moment to look at and go, I need to make a memory here, because this is, whatever it is, it's big. When Jesus was crucified, what was the scene during that day? Was the sun shining? Fluffy clouds? Yeah, pretty scary stuff. How many of you have experienced an earthquake? Living in Oklahoma, which I never thought I would do, I've experienced one. But I experienced my first earthquake in Modesto, California. Mark and I, my best friend, we were down. It was a split level, so we were down in the lower level. I was sitting on the couch in front of the sliding glass doors, and I looked at Mark and I said, "You've got waves in the swimming pool." His eyes got this big. He jumped up. He grabbed me by the shirt and said, "We got to get out of here. We're having an earthquake." They lived in a cul-de-sac. So we came down off of the main street to Newport Road, came out of his driveway. I was looking east down the blacktop of the neighborhood, and I saw this. as far as I could see. Now, I'm a guy from Oklahoma, and I know the ground's not supposed to move like that at all. That gave me a moment of pause. And it took a little while for my head to get wrapped around that here the earth is rolling for at least a mile, because that's how far it was going in that direction, as far as I could see. And yet, nothing exploded, nothing blew up. Everything was pretty cool. I try to use that to give a perspective on what it was like with Moses and Aaron standing at the foot of this mountain, feeling that trembling, seeing the fire, the smoke, and thinking, we got to go up there. When we face our challenges today, is that a similar representation? Maybe not with all the smoke and the fire and the earthquakes, but at least the challenges that are thrown in front of us, we're thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Or maybe I don't know if I even want to go in that direction. But it tells us something about our faith. It tells us something about, and we've been touching on this, and it's kind of neat how this has worked out in some of our previous lessons. David's lesson Sunday is about loyalty, and that loyalty, when we're in distress, it's about that loyalty when things really aren't just going as hunky-dory as we'd like them to. When life is easy, when we're on cruise control going down the highway and everything's good, the job's doing fine, the money's coming in, I'm making good money, the family's healthy, there's no leaky roofs, the hot water tank in the house is not blown up, the car's doing just fine. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget who's to be thankful for that. And I think we have to realize that sometimes those are the moments we need God just as much as we do when we're in trouble. As much as we do when we're being challenged. And so as Aaron and Moses get ready to ascend this mountain, they were given instructions. And God says, okay, come on up. You're going to hold up here, kind of like being a base camp, for 6 days. I tried to find a way to work it in, correspond to the 6 days in which God created all of us in the days of creation. But I don't know that Aaron and Moses were really creating a whole lot, as much as they were probably more focused in what was getting ready to happen. They were taking that time to redirect all of their thoughts, and I can't imagine, or I can only imagine, perhaps what their prayer life was like during that time. Asking God to give them the courage, asking God to give them the strength, asking God to give them perhaps the physical ability, asking God to prepare them mentally for what was about to happen. And then at the 6th day, the red phone rings and it's God on the other line and says, all right, this is the day you've been waiting for, and I've been getting you all prepped up and polished and shined for. He opens the cloud and says, come on in. As Moses goes into the mountain, he goes in with what? Did he have a 72-hour survival backpack on his back? Did he have his bushcraft firing starter pouch on his hip? Huh? He had a staff. He had the clothes he had on his back. He had his sandals. He put his faith in God. Unquestionable faith. And that's probably what he was going through that first 6 days, is to get his mind and his heart right so that when he went to enter that cloud, he wouldn't hesitate. Because, buddy, he's got a history of hesitating, doesn't he? It's in his history. But he steps in there, and at that moment, he puts all his faith in God. Where are we today with that dedication? Where are we today with that loyalty? Where are we today with that commitment? It's pretty easy when life's going pretty good for us to go, man, I got this in the bag. No problem. I know without water, we've got a limited time. That window is very short before you're experiencing dehydration, lack of oxygen flow. Then your body starts to shut down, the vital organs start to give up. You lose kidney function, and that's pretty much the last step before you go home. And that happens way early before you start going through the starvation phases. Moses and Aaron have probably experienced some of that. But Moses now is looking to 40 days without water and food. Now, we could call it a miracle that God was there, God took care of him. We could say that Moses was high on God, and that was enough to sustain him for that 40 days, 40 nights. And that's okay. Sometimes maybe we need to have a little bit more of that. But the fact is, whatever took place, however it happened, Moses was well grounded in his faith, in his dedication, in his loyalty, in his commitment that God would take care of him. One, he knew God was a keeper of his word. And that's enough for us. We know throughout history, both in the Old Testament and what has been shared with us in the New Testament, that God keeps his word. If anybody fails, who is it? It's us. If anybody trips and falls and steps off that path, it's us. God says he will always be there for us. He even begs and pleads for us, take advantage of me and commission me in prayer. I'll be there. We didn't have the opportunity to be first person like Moses was when it came with dealing with God. We don't have the privilege of being first person like it was when Jesus Christ picked the 12, and throughout those individuals' lives, they got to walk and talk and have that one-on-one intimate relationship and experience with Jesus Christ. But we got the next best thing. We've got this right here. And that's what Moses was going up onto the mountain to acquire for his people. Maybe not the full version of this, but the beginning anyway. And it was his responsibility to come down and to present it before the Israelites and say, okay, this is what God requires of us. And they were all hands up, weren't they? They were like, no question, I'm in. I'll obey the laws. I'll follow your rules. I'll do anything you want. Big thumbs up. How long did it take for them to fall away? Yeah. About this long in my book. Okay. But Jim's right. They couldn't even wait for Moses to get down off the mountain before they started grumbling and moaning and groaning. And yet, did they really lack for anything? They got to drink water from the brook. They had manna. I mean, if you can satisfy your thirst, if you can satisfy your hunger, that which Moses and Jesus Christ were denied in 40 days and 40 nights, shouldn't that be enough? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I try to put myself in their place. I'm thinking, what overwhelming emotions and the ability to comprehend what is going on before me and to realize that this God that's on the mountain is the one that just took us out of Egypt. And of course, they couldn't wait to go, why'd you bring us out here to die? I mean, did they just forget what took place? How easy is it for us today, so far removed from those particular happenings, or we find ourselves where we question God? How many of you heard somebody say, why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen? How could God let something like that take place? Or how many of us have been in situations where we are so heavy laden with burdens of any circumstances, where we almost can't see a way out of it, and we go, what is the use of being a Christian? When you look around and you know people who aren't Christians, who are cheating on their wives, who are beating up their families, are ugly people, hateful people, and it seems like they live in the biggest houses, drive the fanciest cars, and have unlimited income. And you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? To maintain that loyalty, to maintain that faith, to maintain just a sense of sanity when you're so overwhelmed can be a struggle at best if we haven't read and understand the examples that have been given us in the Old Testament. That there are specific players in this book that show us the way to behave, that show us the way to conduct ourselves, that show us how to reach down and to grab our bootstraps and pull them up and say, if they can do it, I can. Because I have the complete first edition of what's given me. I've got the answers right here, all the way through. I know the results. I know the graciousness and the compassion God has if we stand firm in the faith and if we find ourselves committed to reading the Word and grounding ourselves firmly. Moses went up there with confidence. Moses went up there. I don't know if he had a full understanding of what he was getting into. But he went. Just like those 12 went with Jesus when he went down and said, drop your nets and follow me. Unquestionable. Boom, right there at the moment. I was given a job offer one time. It was a pretty good offer. And I was being a little greedy, I guess, because I had a couple more on the table. And it was like, well, can you give me a couple of days? You want to know what happened? I waited too long. Not only did I not get that one, but the other two didn't come through as well. I tried to second guess it. Instead of relying on my prayers to God, saying, God, give me a sign. The one standing there with open arms said, Todd, you've got the qualifications. Come on aboard. We're ready to go. Wait a minute. I want to see what this other guy wants to offer me, just in case. I lost out. God stands up there. He gives Moses the courage and the strength to come up in his presence. God looked upon us with compassion and mercy, and he gave us his one and only Son on our behalf. He said, I created you all in my image. I still love you. And these measures are only temporary. I find you worthy of a pure sacrifice. The one sacrifice that will take care of everything. And that's my Son. It's kind of like Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments. He goes, all right, here they are. God has given me this to give to you. And if you obey the laws, if you do everything that's required, it's not really that much. You'll be in good hands. God knew it wasn't enough. But he knew it was enough for his people at that particular time until he was ready for the next phase. There are a lot of parallels in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that apply to our lives today just as much as it does and did back then. So my question to you is, tonight is, can we, do we understand, one, the faith that Moses had, And do we understand and know that through study and prayer, we have an avenue to that same strength. We have an avenue to that same provisions that God gave the Israelites, that He now has given us through His Son and the Holy Spirit. It just takes action on our part to take that next step. When Moses came down from the mountain, he presented everything that God told him to present to the people, to the Israelites, both in regards to the Ten Commandments and now to the establishment of the tabernacle, the way it was supposed to be built, what it was supposed to look like, what portions were to be encased in gold, silver, bronze, or brass. And in addition to that, all of their ceremonies that were to follow for the establishment of the covenant for His people. What was missing? Some scholars will say, well, God created something that wasn't perfect. Well, I'm not going to tell him that. God doesn't create anything that's imperfect. God had a plan. God has a process. And that was just one of the steps in many to get us to where we are today with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on our side. We've got a few more minutes, then we'll bring this to close. Moses was 80 years old, lived to be 120. And of all of the three segments of 40 years that he lived, I can honestly say this was probably the most active 40 years of his life. I don't know if any of you have ascended a mountain without conditioning yourself prior to going up. Because altitude sickness is something that's real. But we used to go to Wolf Point to go skiing. And it's not just too terribly high. But we'd hand out a sheet about 2 weeks before telling everybody who's going, hydrate, get out and walk a little bit, get prepared. And inevitably, there's always two, we had at least always two, sometimes three, who didn't get prepared to acclimate themselves when they got up there. And we had one lady get so sick, we had to call in a helicopter. We had to take her back down and get her to a hospital. She got that bad. It was not just a little thing for Moses to be on this mountain. And God was presenting himself not just before this little group of Moses and Aaron and some elders and a select few. He was presenting himself before the entire nation of Israel. And he had to do it in such a way to not only captivate their attention, but to keep it. Do we have an opportunity of seeing God working like that today? Is there any place we can go, or can we go back to where they claim Mount Sinai is? And we sit there and we wait and we just pray, God, give me a sign. How about a little thunder, a little lightning? Doesn't work that way. This is what we have. In order to know our God, we have to read. We have to pray. We have to engage one another. So keep that in mind. We'll have one more lesson next Wednesday that'll get us out of this section, and we'll move on. So thank you very much for tonight, and we look forward to seeing you later on.